Good morning. There are seats over here. And the good news over here is you're near the window. Oh, that's right. If you sit here, you're in the choir. But room four, we're... I can't see you through that thing. And I have my own on, so we're okay. Please pray with me. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Jesus wept. It's the shortest verse in the Bible and the easiest to memorize, isn't it? That verse is part of the story of Jesus meeting with the sisters of Lazarus after the death and burial of their brother. It shows Jesus' deep grief and sorrow at the death of his own dear friend, Lazarus. What we find in today's passage in Jeremiah is a deep grief and sorrow of the prophet, just like the deep grief and sorrow we would find in the weeping Jesus. It's a stark reminder that our God is not emotionless. Our God is never unaware of what's going on with God's people. Our God is in touch with our feelings. Listen to some of these verses that Ron read for you in Jeremiah. My joy is gone. Grief is upon me. My heart is sick. Hark, the cry of my poor people from far and wide in the land. For the hurt of my poor people, I am hurt. I mourn. Dismay has taken hold of me. Why has the health of my poor people not been restored? Those are the words of Jeremiah, the prophet, but they are also the words of God, the God for whom Jeremiah speaks. Because God always feels our pain and weeps for our need. God always feels our pain and weeps for our need. I went to a memorial service yesterday for Barbara Cronendonk. I don't know if any of you knew Barbara Cronendonk. She was the director and counselor of our career and personal counseling center in our presbytery, I think for 15 years or thereabouts. Barbara died on Thursday. I didn't even learn about it till Friday, and then the service was on Saturday. It seemed such a hurry. Her husband, Bob, had died a year and a half ago, and after the service yesterday, their son, Gary, told me that Barbara had never learned to live without Bob. In a way, I think that's like our own Bob Stevens, who really never learned to live without his Connie. He lived, he got through each day, but there wasn't a lot of joy for him without her. So I understood that was part of what had happened with Barbara Cronendonk. There are people who really suffer in grief and cannot adjust, while others are more able to manage and move forward with their lives. We're all different. We're all different in every way, but we're all different even in the way we grieve. So if you are ever in the place of grief, don't expect your grief to be like all the others you've heard or seen. Grieve in your own way. But know that God always feels our pain and weeps for our need. This was certainly true of the pain of Israel in Jeremiah's day, and it's true of the pain of people and nations in our own day. On Friday, an amazing thing happened, I think, if perhaps you've paid attention to that. Students, middle school and high school students around the world left school on Friday to lift up the reality of climate change and the need for the nations of the world, the leaders of the nations of the world, to do something about it. Did you see that? You saw some of that? Millions of young people in cities around the world, including Tampa and St. Pete. How about Clearwater? Was Clearwater in on that? Largo did? Oregon did. Oregon did. Did you have some grandchildren doing that?
One,
yeah. Named Clark? Yeah, okay. This movement of students began because of one 15-year-old girl, a Swedish girl, who lived in Stockholm, who a year ago began to walk out of her school and go and sit across from the government building in Stockholm, holding a sign in Swedish that said, or maybe it was propped on the ground behind her, saying, school boycott for the climate. Greta Thunberg inspired millions of youth who joined her effort this past Friday. Their signs were intriguing. One said, "Don't take away our snow." One said, "You will die of old age, we will die of climate change." Thoughtful sayings around the world. Think about it. But know that God always feels our pain and weeps for our need. God wants the people of Israel in Jeremiah's day, and God wants us to have shalom. What does shalom mean? Peace. Shalom means more than peace, though. It also means well-being, a fullness of life, not just absence of war, but shalom means a fullness, an abundance of life. God wants us to have the kind of peace and well-being that come from being in relationship with God, knowing what forgiveness is, knowing what companionship and love can be. A merry heart. That's a passage we find in Proverbs 17:22. In the King James Version, it says, "A merry heart doeth good like a medicine." That's a description of shalom, my friends. The New Revised Standard says, "A cheerful heart is a good medicine." And we can, we talked about depression in Sunday school this morning, so I don't want to make light of that. But we can find a contentment and a deep peace and a cheerfulness when we are in relationship with God. In the time of Jeremiah, as we have discussed in the last couple of weeks, there were stronger nations to the north and the south of Israel seeking to conquer each other and everything in between. You don't want to be between two big powers. And Israel did not have the strength of force, of focus, or of confidence to stand up to those nations. And in fact, as we study Jeremiah, I want you to remember that it will not be long before the nation of Israel would be no more. Jeremiah is talking to a community that is about to be in ruins. Jerusalem itself will be left in ruins, and the leaders of Israel and of Judah will be taken into exile. The land, the towns, the villages of the homeland in Palestine would be left empty and destroyed. This is a grim time for the people of God. It's no wonder that the cry of God's people, especially the poor, is heard far and wide in the land. It is no wonder that God and Jeremiah can say, "My joy is gone, grief is upon me, my heart is sick." Because God always feels our pain and weeps for our need. Frankly, I think we are aware of anguish like Jeremiah describes. We feel it when a loved one struggles with illness, when a loved one dies, when we have to say goodbye, when, like Barbara or like Bob, we have to learn to live without them. We feel it when we see cruelty directed toward children, or when we hear of children without enough to eat, even in our own communities, even on our own streets. And cosmically, that is, in the universe, the cosmos, the universe, we see increasing pictures and reports of ice melting at the North and South Poles, ending or threatening the habitats of polar bears and penguins and whales, to name just a few. We see increasing pictures and reports of seas warming, making fish and lobsters seek new waters where they can live. I saw a report last week about lobster fishermen who are thriving in Maine, but not any longer in New England because the lobster have moved north, seeking cooler waters. We know that the levels of coastlands have been rising around the globe, challenging seaside villages and their populations and their economies. I heard recently that the capital of Indonesia is being moved from Jakarta to a new city in Borneo, a different island, because Jakarta is sinking, a coastal city. We know of storms becoming more intense and perhaps more frequent. Look what happened in Houston, an area this week. I heard about 40 inches of rain in parts of Texas. It wasn't even a hurricane. We hear of serious and prolonged droughts becoming more frequent, of new weather patterns affecting locations and people and animals around the world. But remember that God always feels our pain and weeps for our need. My joy is gone. Grief is upon me. My heart is sick. Hark, the cry of my poor people from far and wide in the land. For the hurt of my poor people, I am hurt. I mourn, and dismay has taken hold of me. Those are words of Jeremiah. They are words of God. Jeremiah foresees and fears the destruction of Israel and Jerusalem. We'll actually hear more about that in coming weeks. But Jeremiah asks, in God's words, he asks, is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then has the health of my poor people not been restored? No balm in Gilead. We got a hymn about that. We're going to sing it in a few minutes. Gilead was a rocky, mountainous part of Palestine over on the east bank of the Jordan River, now in the country of Jordan. One of the main products of Gilead was balm, a medicinal ointment or perfume, probably made from the balsam trees. And Gilead was famous for its balm. So the question, is there no balm in Gilead, becomes a rhetorical question. Of course there is balm in Gilead. What do you mean, is there no balm? Of course there's balm in Gilead. That's like asking, is there any milk at Publix? Of course there's milk at Publix. Is there no balm in Gilead? Of course there's balm there. Well, if there's balm available, if there are doctors at the hospital at Largo Medical Center, why are my people hurting? That's the question God might ask. It's what we hear in Jeremiah. Is there no balm in Gilead? Why then has the health of my poor people not been restored? We could ask, isn't there any food in Clearwater? Of course there's food in Clearwater. Then why Are people still hungry here? Why do children still go to bed with empty bellies? Why do children still go to school too hungry to learn? Why do seniors have to choose between food and prescriptions and paying their rent or utilities? People of God, people of the church feel that pain and struggle with it, just as God always feels our pain and weeps for our need. Jeremiah offers us a glimpse of the agony that God feels when people, men and women in this world that God so lovingly made, fail to care for one another and fail to care for the earth. It's an agony I believe God is feeling every day. Just like you and me when we're tempted to turn off the news. Raise your hand if you're not tempted sometimes to turn off the news. We don't want to hear anymore about all those things that frustrate us and leave us depressed. So yes, we can ask the question, is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no healing? Is there no answer? Sometimes it seems so much bigger than you are or I am. I said that in reverse. Sometimes it seems so much bigger than I am or you are or we are together. Maybe that's why somebody like Greta seems so incredible to us. A girl, a 15-year-old girl, what grade is that? Ninth or tenth grade. She's a ninth or tenth grader in Stockholm, Sweden, who has heard all this news and says, what can I do? And so she walks out of church, out of school. She makes a sign, walks out of school, and positions herself across the street, I think, from where the leaders of the government in Sweden would walk in and out. One person, which a year later looks like millions of people in Australia and in Tampa and in Clearwater and in Largo and in St. Petersburg and in New York. She's going to speak this week at the United Nations. She won't fly in an airplane. Did you know that? Because of its impact on the universe. So she sailed in a solar powered sailboat to get from Stockholm to the United States. So as I thought about all that, I decided I wanted to pair this story with the passage in John, where Jesus, who comes to Martha and then to Mary, and hears each of them, first Martha, then Mary, they say to him, Lord, if you had been here, our brother would not have died. We lift our prayers to God, wanting a solution to the thing that is heavy on our hearts. And Jesus said to them, first Jesus weeps. Maybe that's later, but Jesus weeps because Jesus feels that pain. But then Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. God in his son Jesus is life. I've told you this story, but it seems to fit here, so I'll tell you again. My son Luke, at 4 years old, once found me weeping when I got the news of the death of my friend Betty. And he comforted me. He said, Mama, Miss Betty died, so she has no more life. But she'll go to heaven, and God is there, and God has more life than anyone, and God will give Miss Betty more life than she ever had before. 4 years old. God always feels our pain and weeps for our need. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no healing for the people of God? Oh, but yes, there is. There is balm. There is hope. There is life. in the name of Jesus and in the prophetic words and actions of God's people, as we stand up for those in need and as we stand up for the very earth which sustains us, there is hope and healing. Like Greta and millions of young people around the world, we can find in God's intention for the world and for the people of the world the promise of life, this life and the life in the world to come, in the forgiveness and salvation that is ours in the name of Jesus Christ, and in the many things, small and large, that we can do to make a difference, that you can do, that I can do, that we can do together to make a difference. Because God always feels our pain and weeps for our need. Let us pray. Thank you, Lord, for feeling and weeping with us, and for bringing us life, this gift of new life, this gift of new hope. Help us to see that we can make a difference in small ways and in large ways, and that we can speak your love to the world around us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.